Guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth. I hope
you will like it. Hello and welcome back to Paranormal Hotline Podcast. My name's Kaylee and I'm joined by my co-ghost, Oisin.
Hello.
happy Bridget's Day, Oisin. Today's St. Bridget's Day.
We are recording this on St. Bridget's Day.
We are.
Yes. Happy St. Bridget's Day.
I love this day because it starts getting brighter in the day and we get a bank holiday. Yippee!
Woo! Yippee! Is this like the first proper year we're getting the bank holiday? They kind of dropped it on us kind of like out of nowhere last year.
Yeah, I mean, I was fine with it. Surprise day off. That's no complaints. So how have you been, Oisin? Anything paranormal to report this week?
Nothing too paranormal to report this week. All is well.
Nothing too paranormal?
It's St. Bridget's Day. Like, you stick out your...
Did you leave anything out for last night?
Read. I forgot to, but my parents did on my behalf.
Right. I left something out for her.
She was patron saint of so many things.
Yeah, she was. But she notoriously had
one of the best lists of patron saintness.
She really is. And like, she's originally like a Celtic goddess as well. So it just makes her way cooler.
I think, yeah, she's patron saint of like beer brewers as well.
Yeah. Yeah. What a badass. But apparently her bees used to go into like other dimensions and stuff, and it was like illegal to kill bees in the Celtic days because of Bridget. So
excellent. Bring it back.
Yeah,
it should be like very illegal to kill bees.
Absolutely. So I've got one for us today. Today we're going to be recovering, one of my favorite alien encounters, because we covered this one before, but we didn't really do it justice. Okay. And Oisin hasn't heard this story before.
I don't think
you have. I am, of course, talking about the Kelly Hopkinsville encounter. You haven't heard of this one before then, you don't think?
I don't think so. It's not the one with the little ribbon arms going...
No, that was... Okay. No, I love those guys. That was like the penguin one. It's not that one, but I think this one's cooler and funnier, actually.
Okay.
So I think you'll enjoy this one. I don't want to say much about it or give anything away before we start the story. So let's get going. So this encounter begins on a warm August night in Kelly, Kentucky. So it's in the good old America where they make the chicken, you know?
They make... Yeah. What part? Like, I'm going to look at the map just to see where...
I know where Kentucky is on the map because it looks like a little chef holding a plate and the bit that's on top is the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
What?
Yeah. That's the only reason I know where Kentucky is.
How do you visualize the
if you look at the state lines, you can see like a chef with his little chef hat, and then he's like holding a little plate, and on top of the plate is the Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's
what?
You won't see it. I'm going to have to show you after the podcast.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Oh, you see, okay.
Yes. Like Iowa is his head.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that's how I know where Kentucky is.
Okay.
Otherwise, I would have no idea. The year is 1955, so we're going quite a bit back in time. And our story...
1955, what?
1955, yeah.
55, okay. Yeah.
5-5. And our story begins with a rural family known as the Suttons. They lived in a small three-room house with no running water, no electricity, so like no telephone or anything like that. Like, these were real rural people. You know, they had lots of guns and they kind of just kept to themselves. And it was a pretty big family. So in the house the night of the encounter was the mother of the family, known as Glennie Lankford, and her children, Lonnie, Charlton, Mary, and two sons from a previous marriage, Elmer, who's nickname is Lucky, and John Charlie, who's just JC, and their wives,
fair,
Vera, Elena, Elena's brother, and Billy Ray Taylor, and his wife June.
So does he, like, did he get the name Lucky from, is he Lucky or is he on, like, is it an ironic?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Because I'm just thinking, like, you know, in this neck of the woods, you'd get it for being unlucky.
Probably. More than likely. Well, there's a lot of people in this very small house.
There
in the middle
is.
Of nowhere.
Yeah. So they're there with their families. Or is it just their wives?
It's mostly their wives. It's her kids. And then some of her kids are a bit older and have their wives with them. And then there's some friends as well. So Billy Ray Taylor was just a friend who was visiting with his wife. So they were just there for the night. But it's a lot of people in a small house with no running water. And some of them, like I said, were just visiting for the night. But that's still a bunch of people in one little house.
Yeah.
So Glennie, who was the matriarch of the family, she was the mother. Their father isn't with them, unfortunately. She was a rather religious woman, so she didn't allow drinking in the house ever. She didn't really like drinking at all. So we can say at least for certain that there was no drinking permitted in the house on this night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the 21st of August, and it's about 7 p.m., and Billy Ray Taylor, who's the friend who came to visit, went outside to retrieve some water from the well. Because, like I said, there's no running water, and I assume if you're visiting, you're going to be like, oh, I'll go get the water.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he sees this bright object in the sky, shiny and metallic looking. And he got a good look at it and said it had an exhaust, like a trail behind it, that was all the colors of the rainbow. And he watched the craft silently fly over the house and then come to a stop and descend a little bit off in the distance. And it's dark this stage. It's about 7 p.m. Well, it's getting dark. So he runs back inside and he starts telling everyone what he saw. And they're all kind of like laughing at him, you know, calling him all sorts of names. They, you know, they just assumed he was going loopy pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And dismissed everything that he said. Yeah, exactly. About an hour later, one of the dogs starts barking like crazy, going nuts at the door. So Lucky and Billy Ray decided they were going to go outside and investigate the noise. So they make their way out the back door and immediately they knew something was off. They could make out strange glow coming in one direction. And as they began to focus on it, they started to see a strange shape. A humanoid shape. But not quite right. They described it as roughly 3.5 feet tall. And they were quoted saying, it had an oversized head, almost perfectly round. Its arms extended almost to the ground. And its hands had talons. And its oversized eyes glowed with a yellowish light. The body glowed with a strange shimmer as if it was made of a silver metal. So this is the first sighting of the creature. What do you make of it?
That's wild.
Yeah.
I don't know. When you said it glowed, like the whole body is glowing with like a shimmer. Yeah. Just reminded me of Mr. Burns.
Oh, I think it's more like a silver metal, like the reflect. Because it was like a full moon that night or something. Or the moon.
Yeah, it's reflecting the moon though. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not actually like emitting a glow. It's just kind of like silvery.
A double glow since the moon doesn't glow. Double reflection.
Sure. Yeah. Let's go with that. So they're totally freaked out. And the first thing they can think of is to grab their guns. I'm sure they probably didn't have to go far to get them because they apparently had the creature at gunpoint. So they immediately aimed at the creature and started firing.
Just quick draw.
Yep. The creature even held its hands up like a person typically would at gunpoint. Like put its hands up like, don't shoot.
Don't.
And they fired at the creature. And according to the men, it did a little flip and then dashed off into the darkness.
Whoa.
The bullets apparently ricocheted off the creature.
So like, did he do a flip because he was like knocked back, or was that just his like, fuck you?
I think he just did a flip. Like they didn't say he like got shot and flipped back the way. They were like, we were shooting at him, and then he just did a flip before he dashed off. So I think it was more like in your face, did a little flip.
Yeah. Have you ever seen like pigeons doing flips?
I have. Yeah, actually. Yeah, it's very
that's
funny.
That's kind of what I'm picturing, just like woo.
Yeah,
woo.
Pretty much.
You're just like, get out of here.
Whoop. Parkour. Parkour. This is a picture of a drawing of the description of the creature.
Yes. Show me him. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's beautiful,
I love him.
Isn't he?
I want one.
I knew you'd love it already.
Someone like crochet. I need a crochet pattern or something.
You need a crochet pattern for it. Yeah, sure.
Or like just like a real one.
Or just, yeah, get a real one.
I didn't know what to make of like the talons when you said it. I was like, oh no, talons, that's going to creep me out. But these ones, that you know, they're friendly looking.
I kind of think it's more like just like long fingers, to be honest, or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I like the note on the feet not seen or not noted.
How did they not see the feet when it did a bloody flip? Which way did it flip? Did it do a back flip? They didn't specify.
Also in the side view, this guy is like, he is swole.
He is,
He skipped leg day, but he is ready to...
He can bench like 200, but he can't squat for shit. He's got these tiny little legs. This guy skips leg day every day. No wonder he can do backflips though, because his center of gravity must be his head, you know?
Yeah, he just rotates around. Yeah. It's all in the neck.
It must be so easy.
The world's
for
strongest
him.
Neck.
So the two men run inside and they start telling the family what they saw. And the family are pretty freaked out because they know these men aren't going to start firing their guns for nothing.
Mm.
And after a few minutes, they're kind of all like talking about what to do. What are they going to do? And for a second time, the creature is spotted looking in the window at the family. Now, I don't even think they had glass in these windows. I think it was just screen. So when they looked up, they just saw the creature like looking at them through the window.
It's just so much better now that I have the diagram.
Yeah, it is, right?
If you said that to me before I knew what this guy would be like, oh, that's a bit creepy. Whereas like, it's a bit creepy, yeah, but it just looks like a Muppet staring in the window. You know? I'm like, I'm expecting him to do like the, you know, the open the mouth and shake his head. Like, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like Gonzo. Yeah. I'm picturing them now with like Muppet voices and it's making me laugh.
Oh no.
Parkour. I can't do Muppet voices. Yeah, so they spot it looking in the window at them again, and the men open fire at the creature again, but the bullets just like bounce off them or just drop off them. It does nothing to them. And the creature once again does a little flip and runs away.
It's like his thing.
Yeah. It's his defense tactic. Woo! Folks, if you're enjoying the podcast, please consider supporting us on Patreon. We are an independent podcast, so we do all the research, writing, editing ourselves, and our Patreon helps us keep up the cost of running the podcast every week. So if you're listening each week and you're enjoying the podcast, consider supporting us. And if you can't afford that, no worries. You can help us out for free by rating the podcast wherever you listen to it. We really appreciate that. Thanks. Okay. So the mother, Mrs. Lankford, said, "I went out in the hallway and crouched down next to Billy when I saw one approaching the door. It looked like a 5-gallon gasoline can with a head on top and small legs. It was a shimmering bright metal like on my refrigerator." Let's make of that while you will. It had the same color as a shiny refrigerator. I assume this is the 50s, so the refrigerators were really cool back then.
The classic Smeg, like.
Yeah. What a terrible name for a fridge. So after a little while of not seeing the creature, Taylor decides to step outside and see if they were gone. So he's very bravely walking outside the house to see what's happening, where all the creatures are. And this house has like a porch area, you know, at the front. So it has like that overhanging roof.
I'm picturing like a nicer version of the cabin from Evil Dead.
Yeah, pretty much. And he was standing out there and some of the family members were like behind him in the hallway watching him. And as they're watching him, they saw a small little hand reach down from the roof and start touching his hair. So the group starts screaming and they grab Taylor and pull him back into the house. And Lucky runs out with his gun and starts taking shots into the roof.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and then he saw another one closer by in a nearby tree and starts shooting at that. And apparently it jumped from the tree and kind of like floated to the ground, like floated down and then scurried off into the woods. Yeah.
If they can kind of float, the flips make sense.
Yeah, right? It does. Yeah, it all makes sense. So they spent the next few hours inside the house, and all they could hear every now and again was like scratching coming from the roof. And they just kind of sat there for a while wondering what to do. Like, they didn't want to go outside. They didn't want to let them into the house. And at around 11 p.m., they just had enough and they devised an escape plan. They all got together and made a run for their cars. And they did something they never thought they would ever do. They ran to the police station. And the police were apparently shocked by this. So the police chief, Russell Greenwood, later told an investigator, "These aren't the kind of people who normally run to the police for help. What they do is reach for their guns. Something frightened them, something beyond their comprehension." So the police were kind of like really surprised by this, because these are not the kind of people who come to the police with problems, ever. So the fact that they even came to the police at all, the police were shook. They knew something was up. So the police were curious and they decided to make a trip out to the farm and see what they could see. They did find bullet holes left from the encounter, but there was no sign of the strange creatures. Face is quiet. I know, right? Real disappointment.
I am disappointed.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Oisin. I'd like to tell you that one of them stole a police car or one of their hats or something. No, or a gun, imagine.
One of these guys with a gun would be unstoppable.
They'd be insane. But it was late and the creatures seemed to have gone, so the police left the house. And according to the family, the creatures returned at around 2 a.m. And Mrs. Lankford said she saw one glowing repeatedly by her bedside window and its claw-like hand on the screen. So it was just like rubbing its hand off the screen of her bedside. No. They're just menacing, like...
Yeah, they are menacing. And then I look at the
little picture of them. They're just like little thugs. So the story kind of blew up and it was all over radios, newspapers, and there was even an article published in the New York Times about it. And hundreds of people started showing up at the farm and it really made their lives difficult. These are people who did not want people on their property. So they had no trespassing signs up for a while, but that just didn't work. So in order to like kind of guide people around, they started charging entrance to the farm. I think it was like $1 to come onto the farm. But pretty much that just encouraged...
That's the American dream right there. In operation.
The American dream is to have your farm infested with aliens so that you can charge coverage.
Yeah.
But journalists kind of used this to say that they just did it for the money. I think it was just convenient for them.
I mean, like, you know, you might as well.
Yeah, right? I would. I don't see why not.
I was going to say when life gives you lemons, but lemons are like human made, so.
When life gives you aliens,
yeah,
you make a tourist attraction. These creatures from this encounter became known as the Little Green Men. And this story is where we get that saying from.
Okay.
Which is just crazy.
Despite them not being green.
No, it was a mistranslation, apparently, or a mishearing. Somebody wrote an article calling them Little Green Men, but they were originally described as like gray. So they were little gray men or whatever. But Little Green Men is what stuck. And that's what people think of when they think of the Hobskinville goblins or whatever they're called.
The lads.
The boys. Skeptics say that there was meteor shower that night and that the creatures were just owls. I don't really see how it could be an owl myself, especially like I don't think an owl would come at you if you fire at them. I think they just fly away.
The only thing owly about this is the eyes.
Yeah, the eyes are pretty big.
But like as far as you know, I'm concerned based on what evidence.
Yeah.
They're difficult to say.
It is very hard to say either way. I love this story so much, but it's so hard to say, really.
Yeah. It is cool, though. I never knew that this is where the Little Green Men came from.
Yeah, that's...
Especially when they're not green.
Yeah, exactly. The little glowing men. I love them so much. I think they're great. So, apparently Steven Spielberg was supposed to make a movie about this. Like, he loved the Hobsonville Goblins so much.
Mm-hmm.
And after Close Encounters of the Third Kind, they wanted him to make a movie about this event, and it was supposed to be like a horror movie, like this family being attacked by these aliens or whatever, and it was all set to go ahead. Like, the animatronics were being built, they had already sank like $700,000 into the pre-production of this movie when Spielberg decided to change things and go a different way, and most of the elements of it actually ended up being used in E.T. the Extraterrestrial in its place.
What a downgrade.
Yeah. Some of the other... Like,
what a downgrade.
Some of the other horror elements were used in Poltergeist, but like most of the actual alien stuff is in E.T. I feel like E.T. is how this could have gone if they didn't just whip out guns and start shooting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I start blasting.
Yes.
But there's a bunch of popular media that the little green men who were actually gray went on to inspire. When I look at them, I immediately think of two things. Gremlins being the first one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Especially like the actual gremlins in Gremlins, the way they're just like little devilish creatures just doing pranks and acting the maggot.
The ears as well, actually,
yeah,
in the diagram.
Yeah, yeah. And they were also known as the Hobsonville Goblins as well, so
yeah.
I think it definitely could be an inspiration. But I also think they kind of look like Stitch, or rather Stitch kind of looks like them.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. It's a similar sort of shape face.
Yeah, but they're kind of cute looking, I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, they are. That's... I said that from the start.
That's the problem. But there's also a Pokemon that is based on the Little Green Men. Do you know which Pokemon it is by looking at it? You play Pokemon,
don't
you?
I'm actually bad at Pokemon.
Oh, right. Okay. I thought you played Pokemon. Never mind.
I played Pokemon Red.
Oh, okay.
So if you show me some pixels, then maybe.
It's this Pokemon. Its name is Sableye. Sableye? Sableye? I'm also not great with Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. This fell. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's literally just the Hobsonville Goblin, like.
I love it. But also, like, I know it's attached to the other picture that you've sent. Just like, don't shoot before he does a backflip.
Yeah, he literally put his hands up. And he was like, I'm unarmed. And then they fired at him and he did a little flip and bounced out.
Sableye, he's cool. I like him.
Yeah, I like Sableye. But it's so weird how Japan kind of like latches on to these weird UFO encounters, because it's the same with the aliens in Legend of Zelda. They're based off of the Flatwoods Monster in West Virginia. So there's just a load of weird like Japanese games that have these cryptids in them. But specifically these alien cryptids.
Those aliens in Zelda. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God. So
the grief.
Freaky. Yeah. Oh.
The grief.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. They used to freak me out too.
They're just called like them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really vague. Like, ugh. Why was there so many aliens in like kids games when we were growing up? Do you remember the ones, I don't know if you ever played Spyro, but in one of the Spyro games, there's just a whole level where the aliens are abducting these cows and you have to try and save them. I was terrified as a kid.
I've only played Spyro at like on demo at World of Wonder.
Oh my God. You sad child.
I know, yeah.
Sorry, that's really mean to laugh at.
I know, yeah. Yeah.
I love Spyro.
It is. Maybe I played it a bit at a friend's house, but like, yeah, no, I have not played a lot of Spyro.
It's great. But there is that weird one level. I was always scared of aliens growing up, but I feel like that is in the list with quicksand of those weird things that you're worried about as a kid that are not a problem.
Like alien abduction?
Yeah.
It might be a problem, Kayleigh.
Maybe. That's true. I mean, could quicksand well is too, but I don't have to worry about it, do I?
There's no quicksand that I know of in Ireland anyway.
The that you know of.
I'd almost hunt it down for her to find it, like, just to
test it out.
To safely, like, you know, stand in it.
Oh my god, I don't think you can safely stand in. Well, I don't know enough about
something to hang on to.
I'll get the vines so that I can lasso you out.
It has to be a vine.
Yeah, it has to be a vine. I'll chop it with a machete to make sure it's authentic as well. And I'll wear an Indiana Jones hat or something.
That'll all be that's left of me, just the hat on top of the sand.
You're lies, Oisin. I'll write that in the sand.
Do. Don't fall in.
So I think I can explain the flipping bit though, right?
Okay.
So it said that the creatures were able to kind of like float around the place or float down from mm-hmm. places. So I assume kind of like how people move on the moon. I think gravity is just different here for them. Like it's much lighter. And if I was on a planet with lighter gravity, I would absolutely be flipping around everywhere.
Yeah.
Like I do it on a trampoline even. But they're also bulletproof. So they're basically in God mode when they get to Earth, and they're just acting like I'd be acting a dickhead. I'd be grabbing people's hair and scaring them, like, if I could. It sounds like fun. I think I understand these guys.
Just when you said that, and thinking back about the hovering,
do you think if
they're like more like, say it's not even that gravity is less, but like they're actually really light or whatever, and the big head or something, Their center of gravity is higher up in their body.
Yeah.
But then if they're also very light, or they're like their buoyancy is neutral or close to, if you were to shoot them in the lower half and their center of, it's above their center of gravity, they do a flip.
That's so stupid.
I know.
I was picturing like shooting, you know the way you can get balloons in the shape of like cartoon characters. I'm trying to picture somebody like shooting one of those with like, I don't know, like a rubber or a rock, hitting with a rock or something and watching it flip in my head. And it makes
sense.
That's
exactly what I mean. That's physics. That's just cold hard physics.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag? These poor bastards. I think these are like probably one of the closest encounters, like alien encounters, that are almost human-like. You know what I mean?
Mm.
They seem to have, they want to have a bit of fun. Like they're having a laugh.
Yeah, they're not just like something off in the distance terrifying you.
No, these guys and the penguin ones that we covered seem like they're actually just having fun, you know?
They're good crack, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they inspired so much media, like whether they're real or not, they had such a massive impact on pop culture that it's just crazy.
Yeah,
I love these
accidental
guys so
name
much.
Alone, like,
yeah,
you know, away from that, and they've done more again.
There's a festival that started a couple of years ago in honor of the alien encounter, actually, in Hopkinsville, which is pretty.
I love it.
I was reading a thing, and apparently they had two things going for them. One is they have like some sort of train thing going on, and the other one was the alien encounter, and they had the option of leaning into one of them, and they chose the alien encounter.
Yes.
This is a place you need to go to. It's full of trains and aliens.
That you could have not picked two things that like explain me better, maybe.
Maybe.
you have to cover yourself just in case something else comes up, you know?
That's true. There was the underground trains. You do love those.
Oh, I do.
That's everything I had. Do you have anything you want to add?
Was there anything about their craft since they, or is it just like they saw it nearby?
Not really. There was just one person who saw the craft. And that's kind of the only thing really linking them to being aliens.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're just known as, because they are known as Little Green Men, or the Hobsonville Goblins is another name for them. So it's one of the two. I think it's kind of leans more towards aliens, especially with the meteor being sighted that night as well.
Yeah. It is a strange connection.
Yeah, it's very strange.
The gay pride exhausts.
Yeah. They're just sprinkling. They're turning the frickin' frogs gay.
No. Chemtrailing.
Yeah.
Let's not get started. That's a dark hole.
Yeah, that's a hole we'll never go down on this podcast. That's everything we have for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you have any more information about the Hobsonville aliens, let us know at our email at paranormalhotlinepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.